It's about the power of God being demonstrated. We're right up on it. That's the reason why we have the conference. That's the reason why we're taking advantage of this time of preparation. It's time to prepare. So we see here in 1 Corinthians 10, some examples of what happened in the past. And these things are for our admonition to avoid them. Verse 7 says, "And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." We see five things listed to avoid. Five things that actually happen, and God is allowing us to replay these things to avoid them. The instant replay booth. This thing is powerful right here, because you can avoid a lot of heartache, a lot of pain by replaying what has been. Because what you find oftentimes is history repeating itself. What has been will be. So I need to know what has been so I can avoid what will be, especially if it's negative. A lustful people, an idolatrous people, a murmuring and complaining people, a sexual immoral people. And Paul took the time, inspired by the Holy Ghost, to remind us of these things, to replay these things, so that we would not fall to the same thing. Look at what verse 12 says. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Guard yourself against pride. Guard yourself of thinking that you know, thinking that you're standing. This thing is something you crawl in. Salvation is a crawling experience. You crawl in this, because the day you raise up is the day that you can very well become an example. And we have examples already. I don't need to be an example if it's already happened to somebody else. I'm going to learn from them and apply that. I'll take the rebuke, because the Bible says when you rebuke a wise man, he increases in learning. But you rebuke a wicked man and he hates you. The response is everything. So the power of replay. We see two examples right there in with David looking at his past and enabling him to go forward. There's three things that the instant replay booth does when you're on God's side. Number one is it strengthens your stand. It strengthens your stand. It clarifies your call. You have a calling. You've been called to do something in the kingdom of God. It'll clarify your call. It'll bring clarity and clearness to what you're called to do. David was called to take down Goliath at that time. And as he replayed what he had accomplished in his past victories, oh, it was very clear. So much so that all Saul could say was, "The Lord be with you, man. I'm not going to stand in your way." You see Saul trying to put his armor on David. "Man, get this armor off of me, man. Get this flesh off of me. I'm going in the spirit. You're trying to stop me by putting this fleshly armor on me. I can't go that route." Disempowers the devil is the third thing. It strengthens your stand. It clarifies your call. And it disempowers the devil. When you know that God has brought you out of some things and you replay those things that God has allowed you to, those victories that he gave you. If you rewind 2-3 years ago, the first couple of years you were saved, even if you're just getting saved, the things that you've been able to overcome, when you begin to examine your testimony and how God is rewriting your story. See, the devil tries to keep you bound in the past. The devil's instant replay booth operates in weakening your stand. Disempowering your stand, fragmenting your focus. Because what does the devil do? You remember what you did yesterday? You remember what you said? See, he does the same thing. He emulates God. He's not a creative being. The devil is a creature. He's a creature. He's not a God because he's not a creator. He emulates God. So what does he do? He uses the same exact thing in the negative. His replay booth says, man, you remember 2 years ago, you couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. Remember what you said. Remember what you did. And all the devil does is he spends hour after hour reminding you of how you're incapable, how you're unable, how you can't, how this. It's Satan's faith. He uses fear. Satan's faith is fear. And that's all he pumps. How does he accomplish that? By replaying where you failed, replaying where you sinned. Remember Peter denying Jesus? Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times and the rooster's going to crow. Lo and behold, Peter did exactly what Jesus said. Man, can you imagine someone who walked with Jesus for 3 years to have to go through that kind of experience? But what happened? Jesus doubled back. When you read the end of the Gospel of John, I think it's John 21, how Jesus came to restore Peter. He came to rewrite Peter's story all over again. You know what Peter was doing when Jesus found him? Peter went back to what he was doing when Jesus called him. Peter was a fisherman when Jesus called him. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Peter dropped his net, him and his brother, and they followed Jesus. Well, when he denied Jesus upon his crucifixion, you know what he said? I'm going back fishing. When the risen Christ approached Peter, Peter was on his fishing boat. He went back to what he was doing for. You know what the devil's trying to do to you? He's trying to take you back to what you were. He's trying to get you back into the filth of the flesh. He's trying to disempower what God is intending to do in your life, just like he did with Peter. And Jesus restored Peter by having him to recant what he said. He denied him 3 times. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. 3 times he asked Peter, did he love him? The 3rd time, Peter got it right. He had moved from the different Greek words that describe love. There's 3 meanings of love in the Greek. There's eros, which is erotic love, physical pleasure, erotic. You know what that means. There's phileo, which is brotherly love. That's the love that you're able to share with the best friend or someone you grew up with that you really care for and you really cut for. It's brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And then there's agape. That's the God kind of love. That's the love you read about in 1 Corinthians 13. That's patient, that's kind, that keeps no records of wrong, that believes all and hopes all and endures all things. The God kind of love. The love that you can only have when you have an intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ, because that love is Jesus Christ. The 3rd time Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He got it right. He got out of the flesh and he got back to what God was after, which was a restored relationship with him. But the devil sought to beat him down by replaying what he did. He denied him. Peter was cursing when he denied Jesus. Man, it was an ugly sight. What about the prodigal son taking the inheritance from his father and spending it on reckless living, prodigal living? Here he is in a pig pen, looking around with a bunch of pigs, only to realize that his father's servants lived better than he did. And the Bible says he came to himself and desired to go back home. Do you know the devil was probably messing with his mind the whole way home? Your dad won't forgive you. God won't forgive you. You know, it's people right now that the devil is replaying what they did and telling them that God won't forgive them? That's a lie from hell. The devil is a liar. God is still in the business of forgiveness. Jesus Christ is still in the business of restoration and reconciliation. But the devil uses your past to plague your mind. Believers falling into sin, and the devil tries to replay that sin over and over in your mind to keep you bound. The Bible says in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sins before God, God is faithful and just. He's fair to cleanse you from. He's faithful and just to forgive you, and not only forgive you, but cleanse you from the thing that you did. You know, all you got to do is believe that. All you got to do is believe it. And what you believe, you walk in. You walk in what you believe. So after you confess your sins before God, you say, thank you. Lord, I thank you that your promises are yes and amen in Christ. I refuse to be bound by the devil. I refuse to let the devil plague me by what I did in my past, because your word says that if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Settled. God is not trying to keep you bound in the past. One of the rewards of a relationship with Christ is he gives you a future. He gives you a future. He gave the prodigal son a future when he let him come back to his father. And we see that revelation behind that story being that God allows us to come back in when we went off and sinned against him, knowing that we were sinning. I was telling someone the other day, she said, do you think gay people know that they're wrong? I said, absolutely. Absolutely they do. It's no different than a liar knowing that he's wrong when he lied. It's no different than two people lying in a bed of fornication knowing that they're wrong. Knowing that it's a sin against God. It's no different. The sin of homosexuality is not any greater from the standpoint of what sin is. Now, the defilement of homosexuality is greater, because you can't necessarily get AIDS and HIV from sleeping with the same sex and sodomizing them from telling a lie. See, there's ramifications physically for certain sins. That's why the Bible says when you fornicate, you don't just sin against God, you sin against your own body. You devalue your own body by laying with someone that you're not married to, and you're not committed to, and you haven't given your life to. You sin against your own body. Abortion, killing that child, aborting that baby. Jesus said, you can be forgiven. He's not going to consult your past to give you a future. He's not going to replay your past from a negative standpoint to bring you into a relationship with him. You must confess your past. You must acknowledge what you've done and forsake it. But you know what the devil does? He keeps you in that instant replay booth all day long, just playing it in your mind. What you did, what you said, how you said it. I can't be forgiven. I'm here to tell you today, the devil is a liar. You can break them chains in the name of Jesus. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul talking here. Let's look at what he says. And I'll start at verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Man, that's powerful right there. That's powerful. Paul stepped into the instant replay booth for a moment to identify with you and me. He said, man, I was a blasphemer. He went back to what he was. But he did it to disempower the devil. He did it saying, hey, Christ Jesus came into this world for me. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. If I'm not sick, if I'm not in sin, then Jesus Christ has no relationship with me. He's a physician. He deals with the sick. He deals with the blind. He deals with those in deception to bring them out. Paul said, man, I am the chief of sinners, or rather, I was the chief of sinners. The mercy and grace that God showed me can be applied to anybody that's willing to come to Jesus Christ. Man, this is the good news. The gospel is the good news, because we see that God is not trying to hold anybody back. He's not trying to hold anybody down, but he must first expose you with the light of his word so you can see yourself for what you are. I was thinking this the other day. I was thinking about how this was what I was thinking. If God didn't come and get me from where I was, man, I don't know what I'd be. I don't know where I would be if God hadn't come to get me. When God found me, I was in a pool of blood. So for me to sit here and teach the Bible and to be a part of God's church is the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. I brought nothing to the table other than the fact that I was willing to repent of my sins and lay my life down for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all God requires of a person that's coming to him, is to repent and believe. Those are the first two steps into the kingdom. Paul is encouraging us by saying, man, look, Let me replay what I've been through, man. Let me replay my past a little bit. I was dragging people out the church. I was persecuting the church of God. I wasn't just killing anybody. I was dealing with church folks. I was dealing with Christians and trying to destroy the church of God. And here I am saying God has had mercy on me. Man, I love everything about that. Look at Hebrews or Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul here is saying, I don't just have information. I have revelation. Information that you receive has to be converted to revelation. And that comes through intimate fellowship, intimate intercourse with the Lord Jesus Christ, where he takes that information and he reveals it. He removes the veil behind what you have learned and what the information that you have received. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Why is Paul in the replay booth? Why is he going back to what he did? Strengthening the church by saying, look, man, hey, I was out there. I was into a bunch of mess. I was doing the same thing you were doing. But God, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's the call. He had a calling on Paul's life And the call is clarified, knowing what I've been brought out of. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. When you step into God's instant replay booth, your stand is strengthened, your call is clarified, and the devil is disempowered. I know what I was, man. And I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The gospel is for sinners. It's not for people who think that they're good and are standing. There is none good but one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Every one of us. But God. But God. So we can't forget, man, where we came from. And that's what this thing is about. Remembering what we were and what God has taken us to. Look real quick at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. I got to speed up a little bit. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at one time you were without Christ. Everybody listening to me, at one time you were without Christ. If you ever hear somebody say, I was born a Christian, they're lying. The Bible says, David said, I was born in sin and I was shaped in iniquity. Nobody's born a Christian, man. You got to be born again. I've been a Christian since I was 3. I've been a Christian since I was 5. Come on. That at one time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ shed on the cross is what brought us near. It was the blood. It was the blood. It was the blood. That's what the devil hates. The devil hates the blood. The blood is what spoiled his power. The Bible says, for without the shedding of blood, our sins can't be remitted. Our sins can't be washed away. Blood had to be shed. And there was one perfect and eternal sacrifice that shed his blood. His name is Jesus Christ. We preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ with his blood poured out. That's what brought us into fellowship with Almighty God. Man, I tell you what. I like at verse how verse 13 has this. It's a very powerful three-letter word. But God. But God. The devil said this, but God. The devil tried to destroy me, but God. The devil thought Goliath was going to be able to take down the armies and defy the armies of Israel, but God sent the shepherd boy named David. Hallelujah. That's what we need. We need some but Gods in our lives. But God is able to step in. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Your heart can be blinded. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But, all right, I'm gonna shut the Bible study down here. I'm just gonna end it right here. You see the continuity, the consistency. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. But God is able to step in and rewrite the story. History is his story. It's God's story. God can do whatever he wants. Sarah with that barren womb in her 90s. God says, my promise is still true. My promise is still true. Little Mary, Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you will bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Man, this is supernatural from start to finish. It's necessary that we step into the replay booth so we're reminded of what we were and where God has taken to us. We're able to move into what I call pre-play, which we're going to talk about as I get ready to wrap this up. I won't read this, but write this in your notes. Hebrews 11 gives us a replay of all those heroes of the faith. I call it the Hall of Faith. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Noah. It talks about Rahab and David and those who were great in the faith. And it replays what they did to encourage you and me to not forsake our birthright for a bowl of pottage. It encourages us, man, to hold fast to the promises of God. The Bible says, hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. God is faithful to follow through on his promises. We can't cast away our confidence. Read Hebrews 11 in your spare time. Man, we got to press on to maturity. We got to move from what we were or what was to what will be, past, present, and future. Egypt, wilderness, promised land. God called, he raised Moses up to lead the people of God out of Egypt. They had to go through the wilderness, but their future was the promised land. Man, this thing is about knowing where we come from, being able to replay the past victories, and be strengthened to keep journeying ahead. It's time to start testifying again. It's time to start going back and saying, man, the devil been discouraging me and beating me down. Man, the Lord has done some great things in my life. The power of preplay. What is it? Memory replays. Your memory replays events. Your imagination preplays events. So through imagination, vision, you're able to see what can be, what will be. It's not just looking back, but it's looking ahead to what will be. That's what the reality of heaven is all about. When the people of God were discouraged and they were under heavy persecution in the Thessalonian church and other churches in the New Testament, when the writers would write to them, they encouraged them to pre-play. Don't replay. Don't necessarily go back to what was. It's time to look at what will be. Man, we have a city whose maker and builder is God. We have a home whose foundations is built by Almighty God himself. We have a new body, an immortal body that's fashioned by the hands of God. We're not limited to just the here and now. There's something beyond the blues. There's life after the grave. It's time to get a heavenly vision. It's time to pre-play what will be instead of being bogged down with the drudgery of everyday life. I know it. You know it. It's a mundane and monotonous thing to go through daily life. But man, it's time to get a vision of what will be. That's what Dunamis Tabernacle is all about. 24/7 church. 6 o'clock in the morning, I can be leading people to Jesus Christ. At the midnight hour, people can be saved, all because there's a place that's billowing with prayer and someone in place to minister to the needs of those that want to be saved. Man, I got to hold on to these visions because the Bible says without vision or without revelation, the people cast off restraint. We got to pre-play and be able to get vision and revelation on what will be. The lake of fire for the devil to be thrown into it. The false prophet, the liars, and all the people that are making this world a hellhole that it is, thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Am I saying I don't want people to be saved? Am I heartless and want them to be thrown into hell? Of course not. The Bible says that God wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to come to repentance. But the hard-heartedness of man. So developing the ability to pre-play strengthens you as well, because you're able to see what will be, what could be, the potential for what you're able to accomplish. This works for after this life and in this life. Every business was started because somebody got a vision. They were able to pre-play and see themselves in a different place. It's time to start praying and asking God for witty inventions and moving out into a different place than where we are now. But all of this is done through a constant looking, seeking, searching in the perfect law of liberty. The Bible talks about in Joshua, God was telling Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night to observe, to do what's in it, that your way would be prosperous, that you would have success. Not reading it and putting it down, abiding in it, remaining in it, continuing in it is what we read in James 1. Until that information is converted into revelation. Until, like that official, when he's looking at that football play, trying to see if the running back scored a touchdown or not. He's looking at that video, looking. The fans are wondering, what's taking him so long? He's trying to get the revelation of what actually happened. All because he's standing in that instant replay booth. He comes out with the confident call, touchdown. I saw him stretch the ball over the pylon. I can say it with conviction because I stayed long enough to get an understanding. I stayed long enough to get a clarified call that has to be made. Man, I love everything about this. And I'm going to close in Revelation chapter 20 with this last scripture here in Revelation 20. The instant replay booth is the word of God. We got to stay in it, man. We got to live in this thing and allow God to convert us and change us and transform us. Where we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers. We're putting this thing into practice as God gives us the grace to do so. Look at Revelation 20 and we'll start at verse 11. Now, here is the last book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Recorded by John. Let's look at what it says. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know what God does? In this moment, God steps into the instant replay booth. See, it's nothing that you're going to do in front of God when it's time for you to be judged that's going to make him accept you. It's what you've already done that he's going to open that book up and click replay. You're going to be judged before the throne of God based on what you did. It's going to be past tense as far as God is concerned. And he's going to look at your life and judge your life based on what you did in this mortal body. What are you doing with the life that God has given you? Are you giving it back to him to honor him? Or have you taken the wheel of the car and drive you're doing what you want to do with it? You're doing what you want to do with God's vehicle. Or have you given the car back to God for him to remodel the car for him to detail the car. And it's nothing more than you. God wants you. And it's about being a hearer of the word of God. It's not enough to just hear. It's not enough to just hear. The Bible says you deceive yourself when you only hear. It's about being a hearer and a doer. You're judged according to what you do. Never mistake it. You can hear sermon after sermon, and you never do nothing about what you hear. You're going to be in big trouble before the great white throne. You're going to be in big trouble when it's time for your works to be judged. Because all God is going to do is step into the instant replay booth and look at what your life manifested. It's time to apply what we hear. It's time to take the word of God and put this thing into practice. Because information without application, what is it? It's nothing accomplished. You just got data. You just got knowledge. I always say knowledge. Well, let me rephrase it. People say knowledge is power. I disagree. Knowledge is power when you apply it. What good is it for me to know how to make $1 million and I don't have $1 million? I'm not applying myself. The word of God must be applied. Man, this thing right here is something to really meditate on. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is in the tomb. Tomorrow is the womb. It's what can be, what will be. Today is what you have. The Bible says in Hebrews, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. It's what you do today that matters. It's what you do in this moment that matters. So if you're listening to this message and you're saying, man, I've been stagnant. I've been fooling around. I've been sitting around. I've been just looking and being on the sideline. It's time to get in the game. Pastor Price is going to teach a message this Sunday called All Hands on Deck. It's time to get in the game. It's time to be a hearer of the word. And it's time to be a doer of the word. Don't let the devil beat you down because of what you did in the past when God grants you repentance. And then you can say what Paul said. I know what I did, but God in his grace, in his mercy has brought me into relationship with him. Then you fast forward all the way into Revelation and you see God stepping into the instant replay booth to look at your life and examine your life based on what you did. His judgment is based on the past events of your life. That's why today you must make a move toward the Lord. You must draw close to the Lord. The Bible says draw close to him and he will draw near unto you. It's time to shake yourself, wake yourself, and get moving. When you hear messages, your question after that message is over is, Lord, what should I do about what I've heard? I need something to put into practice so I can see grace grow in my life. Hear and doer, staring into the perfect law of liberty, continuing in it that I may be blessed in my deed. Forget the devil, ignore the devil, bind the devil. And him trying to keep you limited based on what you did in the past. It's time to move on. It's time to move up and higher in God. It's time to press on to maturity. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's time to press on. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to a higher place. You call us to count the cost. Lord, we see Stephen being stoned as he recalled the events that had happened in the past. He recalled the law and what Jesus did, and he was stoned all because of what he replayed. It's a cost that comes with walking with you, and you tell us to count the cost to see if we have sufficient enough to finish. I pray for those listening. I pray for those that will hear this message, God, that you pierce the darkness of their souls, God, with the light of your truth, Lord. and that the devil be bound and his mouth be silenced, that we can go forward, Lord, because you grant us grace, God. You're here to save, God. You said, Jesus, you came into the world to save, not to damn. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him would have everlasting life. God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Christ. If you're not saved and you're listening to this message, repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I've heard this message. The devil's been beating me down, and I'm tired. I'm tired of the devil's voice, and I'm ready to submit to your voice. I yield myself to you. I repent of my sins, and I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified for my sins. He was buried in a tomb, and he rose from that tomb that I might be redeemed out of the hand of the devil. God, right now, I receive that truth for me personally. I receive it and I believe it. And I pray that you save my eternal soul. I don't want to be thrown into the lake of fire. I don't want to experience the second death. I don't want to stand in the judgment and my works not be acceptable. I'm praying right now that you touch me, Lord, and that I never be the same. In Jesus' name, I ask this prayer. Amen.